I changed my lesson because of the weather, and because it's something I need to teach on and talk about, but it'd take too long. I want everybody to be able to get off the hills. I want to talk about briefly inspiration of the Bible. I got in a conversation yesterday about the Bible, and a question was brought up, and she handed me a book of Pat Robertson, of all things. So, talk about this evening. Do you really believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Do we truly believe that the Bible is true? That everything in it is given to us by God Himself? You ask a lot of people, they will say, yeah. But at the same time, they add all these other books, the Book of Mormon, the Catholic Bible, and others that you can think of and come up with. And as I try to tell this woman that the things that this man by the name of Pat Robertson was teaching, he was a false teacher. She kind of looked at me. And I need to get her to understand. If you truly believe in the Bible and being the all authority and inspired Word of God, you would answer that question in how you live your life, the things you do within your daily life. If we truly believe the Bible, we'd do everything in accordance to God's will. If you don't believe it, then you'll do things contrary to God's Word. And there are a lot of people that think that they have better ideas than God, even those within the body of Christ. The inspired apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 21. He said, "For prophecy never come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, or by the Holy Spirit." It states that it is inspiration. It is supernatural influence exerted upon those who wrote by the Spirit of God, by virtue of what their writings are given to us by divine trustworthiness. This is by B.B. Warfield, volume 3, page 1473. And that is true. How we view the inspiration of the Bible have a practical effect upon our faith, life, and eternity, where we're going to spend it. The pastor, this woman says, "Well, I don't like to be around crowds." I said, "Well, eventually you will be. Because if you go to eternal damnation, there's going to be a big crowd. Because there's a lot of people heading for hell. Because they won't do God's Word. They won't follow after His Word completely. They say, yes, we believe God's Word, that we believe in the Bible. But I kind of disagree with this and that." And they nitpick. And they try to change things. I've heard people cutting certain passages out of their Bible because they didn't agree with them. But if we believe in the inspiration of God, we would take it seriously. Turn with me to John, the 14th chapter, and verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit was sent to the disciples, to the apostles, so that they could remember everything they were taught by Christ while upon this earth. Also in John, the 16th chapter, and verse 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall ye speak. And He will show you the things to come." Christ promised them a comforter, one that will help guide them in their teaching, to make sure that everything they're teaching is in accordance to God's Word. Now, if we look at the Bible, and we read the Bible as we should, "Thus saith the Lord," or something equivalent to that statement, is used over 2,000 times within the Scriptures. Now imagine. And that's just in the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God has to say. You listen. You become obedient to His Word. This is what He wants us to do. This is what He is commanding us. And this is what we need to be doing to be found righteous in His sight. Three prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, said the following. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." Jeremiah 10, verses 1 and 2, "Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord." In Ezekiel, the first chapter, verse 3, the word of God came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest. These men were inspired by God. They were told by God Himself what they need to be saying to the people. We also further learn that the Bible is verbally inspired. Man, God directed man to speak His will by using words. He revealed to them the very words He wanted them to speak at that time. God did not inspire men with concepts or ideas, then leave them out to their own creative abilities to speak God's Word. If we turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and begin reading at verse 10. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And begin at verse 10. "But God hath revealed to them by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that ye may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." They were given the words they needed to say, the thoughts they needed to portray, by God, through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, the other being, part of the Godhead, that we may know what God wants us to do. Now, Peter and James, John and Paul, if they left on their own, they could probably came up with creative ideas and trying to teach God's Word. But that's not the way God wanted. He wanted His way, presented in His words. We found some underneath the Old Testament, as we studied the Old Testament, of those who tried to change God's Word by adding one or two words. We talked about Saul quite a few times here lately. But, I did destroy the Amalekites, but the people wanted to bring these animals back, and I thought that was a good idea. How many others changed God's Word at that time by changing one or two words, or thought they could do something better, more creative, more inspiring to God, but found out they were disobedient to God's will? The process of inspiration is summed up in Zechariah 7th chapter, verse 12. "Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the laws and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through His former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts." And from this process, we see that God sent His Word by His Spirit, by His prophets, to His people. That is what is presented within these verses. We also see that God's Scriptures are incorruptible. that His Word will always continue forever. If we read in 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit and sincere love, the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, as grass withered, and this flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now this is the word which the gospel was preached to you. As I had the Mormons come to the house, the fact that they tried to say, well, we needed the Book of Mormons to add because the church fell apart. The church died out. That's what they believed. And that's why they had to have a new set of apostles directed by God through Joseph Smith be chosen and reestablish the church, supposedly. But they do everything contrary to the will of God. And I asked them, are you trying to tell me man's more powerful than God? Because that's more or less what you're saying when you say that the inspiration of God is corruptible, it won't last. You're saying man is more powerful than God. And they didn't know how to answer that. That God is very weak. If he can be destroyed by man, which he created. Think about it. And they saw back and they didn't know what to do. I brought that idea up. 1 Corinthians 14 chapter verse 17 or 37. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 37. "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Now, these young men thought they were elders of the church. And I questioned them about that and asked them if they were had wives, how many kids they had, and if they were obedient. You know, meet the qualifications of the elders. Now, we're single. And they gave me all this other. That's not the commandment of God. That's not what the Scriptures teach. Again, they didn't quite sure how to know that or answer this. And as I talked to this one that gave me that book by Pat Robertson, I said, you know he's a false teacher. I said, I'll bring up the fact that he made prophecies. He prophesied quite a few times what will take place. None of it's come true. If he's a true prophet of God, everything that he would have said would came into being. If you study God's Word enough, you'll find that out. That those who were prophets of God, anything they said came to being, came forth, came true. If it didn't, it proved that they were a false prophet, a false teacher. Through inspiration, the Bible is supported by its unity and fulfilled prophecy. That's back in Deuteronomy 18, chapter verses 20 through 22. And completely equips a person to do God's will. And that's why I try to bring out to the young lady, if you turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning at verse 16 and 17. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the reason I present that question or that passage to her is the fact that I went through the book and talked about miracles. And he says, well, a lot of people believe that, in accordance to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, that all miracles cease. He said it didn't. They're still happening. according to Pat Robertson, then he nullified this question, this scripture. Because it says when everything came to perfect, come within those verses, those things shall end. And Timothy was told by Paul, those things are coming to being. Those things happen. Because everything we need to know, anything we need to prove, can be given to us by the God's Word. All we have to do is turn to it, study it, read it, and present it, and live it. Everything we need to know to make us perfect for God is before us. It's in this Bible. But we got to believe it. We got to depend upon it. We must believe that it is the power of salvation. That it is inspired of God. The whole book. You sit down and try to get 40 writers to sit down and agree to everything. Well, how a contradiction. I know they tried to make the program Star Trek years ago where it wouldn't contradict, and they tried to keep from doing that. And then when they came out with the movies a little bit later, you could see some slight contradictions within those stories. They contradict. Ken probably could tell you if he goes report an accident and he got 5 witnesses, you get the same story from all 5? No. He'll get a different story from each one. And what he has to do, and the other officer that's with him, is try to take all them stories to try to find out what is common among all of them to try to draw a conclusion to what took place. Isn't that right? We don't have to do that for God's Word. It's true. It's inspired. And we must learn to believe in it. Divine inspiration secures the Bible authenticity, credibility, and reliability. We must build and maintain our trust in the verbally inspired Word of God because it alone has won the power to save, according to Romans 1st chapter, verse 16. The power to defeat error, Jude 3, Acts 6 chapter and verse 10, and the power to give life, John 12, verses 48 through 50. It gives us life forever. We can live for eternity if we become obedient to God's Word. If we put our trust, our faith in God, those things can take place. Those things will happen. It is a promise given to us by God Himself. And that's why I try to impress upon this young woman. Compare the teachings of Pat Robertson or anybody else. You don't believe anybody. You compare to what they're teaching with God's Word. If it matches, he's teaching the truth. If he's not, be warned. Be careful. Be alert. Because he's teaching false doctrine and he'll lead you to eternal damnation. As I say, this woman says, well, I can't stand to be around crowds, around a lot of people. I said, you better think about that. Because there's going to be so many people down there burning forever. Now, fiery hell. And if you don't do the things in accordance to God's Word, you're going to be in with a crowd. And the crowd that you're afraid to be around with and scared to be confined, far more worse than being with a small group of people trying to worship God and do what's right. Now I'm asking you this evening, you going to be obedient to God's Word? Do you believe that God is teaching the truth, that the Word of God is inspired? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you must hear His Word. You must believe that Christ came and lived upon this earth, died upon that cross and resurrected. Must believe that He will confess us before His Father when we confess Him as being the Son of God. Must believe to the point where we're willing to change our life, live with Him, for Him, and trying to do His will instead of our own. Be buried with Him in a watery grave. Rose up a new creature and live a faithful life to death. Now, maybe some of us, all of us, we do fall. We do trip. We do make mistakes. We do err. We need to go to God and ask for forgiveness for our sins. We need help with that. We're willing to help you. We're all in this together trying to get to heaven. And we're trying to do it because the inspiration of God is here with us through His Word. Are you willing to become obedient to God's Word? The Bible. Think about it. Do something before it's eternally too late as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.